Now we have the Feast of First Fruits, verses 9 and 10. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. You see, it could not be observed, this one out in the wilderness. They couldn't grow grain out there. But when they got into the land, the first thing they were to do at the harvest was to watch for that first heading of grain here, stalk there. They'd cut each one down, put it together, make a sheaf, take it, go into the tabernacle, and the priest then would offer it. He'd wave it. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. You see, the exact day he did this isn't given. It evidently was the first day of the week of unleavened bread or the first day after the feast. The important item to note is that it occurred on the first day of the week. And isn't it interesting that this one that speaks of the fact that Christ is the first fruits of them that sleep. And it was on the first day of the week he came back from the dead. We're told in Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Now, we're not left to our own devices as to the typical meaning here. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And the church will be included in this. But up to this morning, or while I'm making this tape, why, he's the only one. He's just the first fruits back from the dead. So far, he's the only one back in a glorified body. But we're told that every man's going to be raised in his own order. Christ the first fruit. Afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. And so at the rapture of the church, why, the rest of the first fruits will be coming out of their graves, their bodies. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ confirmed this. He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He died, and he came out of the grave, and the Feast of First Fruits says there are lots more that are going to follow. You see, when that first fruits was offered, it meant there's going to be an abundant harvest. Now notice in verses 12 and 13, And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meal offering, and that was to be a sweet savor unto the Lord, and the drink offering thereof shall be a wine, the fourth part of a hin. Now it's to note the offerings which accompany the celebration of this day, but no sin offering is included. You see, that was included in the death of Christ. That's where he settled the sin question. And these offerings are a sweet savor, for you see, he hath made him to be sin for us. That's Passover, the one who knew no sin, that we might now be made the righteousness of God in him. That's first fruits. Because he lives, we're going to live. He says, because I live, ye shall live also. This is a glorious truth that we have here, friends. Now, we are told, therefore, that he shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You see, the new crop of grain could not be enjoyed until this offering was waved before Jehovah. You see, for the Christian, the death and resurrection of Christ brings to us new relationships and blessings. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. There is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And that doesn't mean, friends, just a few little habits that we've got. It means more than that. It means that we now are taken out of the old Adam. We're joined to the new one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have a new purpose, a new goal, a new joy, a new life. Everything is new now, and that would affect habits, would it not?